a short time with you on the power of patience. I'm probably preaching to the converted, obviously. You know, maybe. Obviously, there's one here then that needs the message. Many of us, well, I think in this day, in this generation that we live in, patience, what is that? It's something that you get out of a microwave, isn't it? You know, that's, you know, we've come into a microwave society where everything has got to be there instantly. Here we have instant coffee. We don't want to sit there and wait for the percolator to do the perking, etc. They even have instant tea, which is awful. You know, they can't wait just a few minutes to let that tea brew to bring out its full flavour and make a great cup of tea. Instead of one of these cups of tea that you just think, well, you might as well just pour it down the sink and forget about it and pretend you've drunk it. You know, but, you have to... To get good things, you have to wait patiently at times for things. But many people don't want to do it. Christians don't want to do it. They don't want to be patient. And obviously none of you here are like that, are you?
No.
No. Are you sure? Turn to Psalm 40, please. 40. Psalm 40. I think if we were to sit down and analyse King David's lifestyle and his life, I think we might discover a secret that probably has never really been preached on before, and that King David was a patient man. Oh yes, he was a warrior, he was a fighter, but at the same time he was a patient man. I can give you one instance. He was anointed to be king, but there was a king on the throne. Probably we would have said, wait a minute, I'm anointed king, let's have him off now, come on, let's move on to this next stage that God wants. And we've been pressing and pushing for it. What did he do? He waited until God removed the king. When Absalom took the throne from David, what did David do? He waited. He left. He released it and waited on God for God's judgment, for God's decision on the circumstances and the situations. Those are just two instances. Okay, you may find instances where he wasn't quite patient at times. Have a dig, have a think, have a look around the scripture. But I believe David was a patient man. And that's why he was able to write this psalm, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he, God, inclined his ear unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turneth aside to lies. Verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. David's rejoicing in what God has done for him. David is prepared to wait for God. Are you prepared to wait for God? Am I prepared to wait for God? You know, we look at our watches, don't we? We look at the calendar. I had a phone call this morning from Greg, or this afternoon. And what's your plans for this year? What's your plans? The next plans, you see. The key issue was, are we going across to the States? Really deep down, that was what he was fishing for. Greg's a fisherman, you see, so he was casting out the bait, and he was seeing if he could find or create space where he could say, well, come then, you know. I could see what he was doing, bless him. He's, you know, enthusiastic about us being over there and just spending time together. He sends his love to the fellowship. Amen. Sends his blessings. Amen. Asks how you were all doing. I said, well, yeah, you're all doing fine. Glory to God. Amen. And if you're not, well, it's been a confession of faith that you're doing fine. Amen. Yeah? Because that's what the Word of God says. That's where God puts us. That we are doing fine. We are doing good. Because God created great things. Now David was able to wait patiently on the Lord. And there is a power in patience. Yeah. Most of us think there's a power in, you know. And I'm one of them at times, you know. I like to see get done and get on with it. Let's move on to the next thing. I can be very impatient at times. Yes, yes. I think at times I'm improving.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Just let you know that I am improving. Sometimes I have this cool your jets from a voice that I married many years ago. And I just have to try and just cool my jets. And realise that, you know, turn the afterburners off and just ease down. There is a time to go at neck-breaking speed, and there is a time to just stick it in idle.
Yep.
And wait patiently on the Lord. That's what it means. To wait patiently on the Lord means just to rest, relax, be content in whatever situation you are in. Whether it's self-made, well, if you've made it, don't worry, God will get you out of it. But he will cause you to learn lessons in that situation that you're in. He's allowed that to happen so that he will teach you some things that you maybe weren't prepared to listen to. There are two ways of learning. One way is by listening to what people say to you and taking it on board and beginning to put it into action. Mm-hmm. Another way of learning is to just drop you into the circumstance and situation and say, find your way out of that. Mm-hmm. For some reason, most of us seem to enjoy this drop into the middle of something and sort out the pieces and find your way out of that. I don't know why. It might be that spirit of rebellion that came from our early forefathers, would you not think? You know, instead of listening to that word that says, if you just did this, this and this, oh, that's too easy, isn't it? You know, if somebody gives you 5 steps to doing something easily, you're going to think, ah, there's got to be an easy way of that. Surely you can go from 1, 2 and that's it, and I can miss out 3 steps. That'll work. And that's your flesh. That's the soulish mind that says, oh, there's got to be a shortcut. There's got to be an easier way. But David says, I waited patiently on the Lord. And he had to wait a number of years. But he waited in, and he waited patiently. And in that patience, there was a power that was developing in his life that would cause him to be king, that would cause him to be a great ruler, that would cause him to win many battles against his enemies. Because he learned to listen to the voice of his God, who spoke to him through his spirit, not through his intellect. See, David wasn't trained as a warrior. He wasn't trained as an army officer. He wasn't trained as a statistician to work out how to beat the enemy. The word tells us he sought the Lord. And God spoke to him. God told him what to do. And so David learned to be quiet and to be silent and to seek his God. So that as he sought his God, then he would hear his voice. And he would hear that still small voice that would speak to him and move him on into an understanding, would move him on into a victory, would cause him to be a great king. Many people say, oh, Solomon was a great king. Look at the temple he built. Yeah, look at the temple he built. Remember this. The temple he built, David provided the money. Didn't he? You know, everybody says, oh, Solomon was a great king. You know, the wealth he had. He had wealth because of his preparation of his own father, who was patient, who was wise. His father could have said, well, if I ain't going to build a temple, I'm going to spend all this money on me. Yeah? That's what most people would have done. But David is planning for the future. David is preparing for the future. And he's patiently building the future. And David is seeing it in the realm of the Spirit. He knows God has said to him, you are not going to build my house. But I believe when he said that, he said, you're not going to build my house in the realm of the flesh. Yeah. But boy, you are going to build my house in the realm of the Spirit. Yeah. He's in the line. He's in the line. Praise God. Because Jesus was the Son of David. That was one of his names. The Son of David. Glory to God. And if we watch, if you spend some time and just begin to think a little bit broader about King David, that he was him. He built the temple. He built it because he provided the finances. All Solomon did was acquire the finances of David and David bought supplies. He brought timber and goods in, ready for the process that when his son Solomon became king, the building would start, the building work would start. It was all made ready. Solomon had only got to do, give it a seal of his stamp of approval and say, this is the king's seal, get on and build. But King David had done all that, made all the provisions. He had faithfully, patiently built this in his heart and in his mind as an honouring of worship unto God, knowing that in his natural eyes he would never see it, but through the eye of the Spirit he saw it, and so he worked patiently. And his patience allowed Solomon to build the temple of God. And in the temple of God, the presence of God came down. You read the story. And it says, and God's train, God's very presence, filled the temple, and nobody could stand to minister. Who prepared for all of that? David. David patiently prepared. And in that patience, there is a power. And so if you and I at times would learn a little bit of patience, learn to trust God. You see, in our patience we learn to trust God. When we're impatient, we are not trusting God. Hello? Is that true? I want it, and I want it now. And if I don't get it now, then we start, well, God doesn't love me anymore. If you don't get it now, maybe you are not ready for it now. Can you cope with what God has for you in the future? By faith, the answer is yes. Right? By faith, the answer is yes. By works and by our own understanding, the answer is no. But by faith, it's yes. If we've got the Ifad family here, if I'd let him do what he needs to do in my life, if I'd let him mould me, if I'd let him shape me, they're all members of this family. If I'd allow, if I'd surrender, if I'd confess, if I'd take my stand. They're all there, aren't they, the if-ads? If I'd let my selfish nature die and let his nature live in me. But that takes some patience. That old selfish nature sometimes needs a lot of killing. Needs a lot of knives sticking in it. Needs a lot of cutting and destroying. Is this speaking to anybody?
Yeah.
Good. Glad it's not just me. Let's turn to Psalm 37. Zena, would you just read that for me, please? That first verse is not verse 7. Yeah. Read verse 8. Sorry, you can't. I'll read verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." What's he saying? Rest. Wait. Be still and know that I am God. Somebody may be prospering and benefiting out of what you've done. Been there, done that, got the t-shirts. Had it happen many times. And then one starts to focus on those circumstances and situations and begins to be like verse 8. Well, begins to operate in the realm of between 7 and 8. What do you think's going on between 7 and 8? You get angry. You get mad. You get upset. You would like to put your hands around them, not to bless them. Or is it just me? No. You know, you would like to squeeze the very life out of them. You would like to shake them till their head falls off. It's just me? No. You would like to do them some physical harm. Please, God. I've been there, I've said it. Dreamt it. Planned it. I'll share this with you, and I don't think I've ever shared this before. I was working for one company, and we had somebody in very, very, very senior management. He was, shall we say, next to the top. And he was nicknamed the Smiling Assassin. Awful man. Power crazy. Young, jumped into the position because he married into the position. And he was an awful person. And he would give anybody and everybody a hard time. And when I say a hard time, I mean a hard time. And I remember one time, a session, he was giving me a bad time. And it was beginning to affect me. In fact, it did finally affect me at one stage quite badly. Affected my health, my mental well-being. And during the course of that time, I thought of ways of getting rid of him. They were extreme. Every morning, there was a certain route he travelled. It's true. I thought of, like, I wonder where I could get hold of a rocket launcher. Where I might just whoop, whoom, and blow him up in his Rolls Royce. You know, I mean, that's the point that it had gotten me to. If I rang the IRA and said that it was anti-IRA, I wonder if they'd come and blow him up for me, you know. I wanted to get rid of him. I don't know if you believe me, but I'm serious. Got me to. I was dreaming these dreams. I was at the side of the road in the ditch, you know. Boom! He's gone forever. You know, he'll torment me and nobody else anymore. Huh? You better be careful. All right, I'll rephrase that. I was envisioning this. But this was the point that the natural man had gotten to. I, you know, somehow wanted to shake the very life out of him. Then he wouldn't trouble me anymore or anybody else. I had to repent from it. I had to ask God to forgive me. And then I had to work on it. I had to work on my attitude. I had to let God work some patience in me. When I left that company, he was a man most mad. When he found out I was leaving, he didn't want me to go. He was furious that I was going. He made the management underneath him try to talk me out of it, find a way from stopping me from going. I was going because God said it's time to leave, it's time to move on. Because I'd passed the stage, I'd gone through the process. Amen. And patience had had its work in me. And it brought me to another place. Now obviously you've probably never had dreams or visions or thoughts in those areas, have you? To that extreme?
No.
Oh well. One of you hasn't. I don't know about the rest of you. I've got a very vivid imagination, like, but glory to God. But in the end, I had to wait patiently on God for His time to prepare me, to bring me to the point, and to change me. And in that changing me, there is a power of God that is working, that brings a power to destroy the work of the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Hallelujah. God has not created you and I to destroy.
No.
He's created you and I to bring life.
Yeah.
To be uplifting.
Yeah.
To be encouraging.
Yes.
To be supportive.
Amen.
To strengthen. To undergird.
Amen.
To support.
Yeah.
That is what God has brought, or is bringing you and I to. God will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yeah.
And we have to patiently wait before the Lord. We have to patiently wait till God puts his hands on us and releases us.
Yeah.
Until God puts his hands on us and says, you're free from that circumstance and that situation, and my blessings are now being outpoured upon you, so that they are pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now that is what God's doing. But sometimes God has to deal with you and me first. Sometimes inside the vessel is tainted. Most of us just want to go through the dishwasher. High pressure washer. And then come out and say, that's it, I'm all clean. I don't know, if you look at some of these dishwashers and some of the pots that come out of these dishwashers, they're not clean. They need the scrubbing pad.
Yeah.
And it's rough. And it scours. And God sometimes needs to have to put his spiritual scouring pad on you and me. Grace used to get these stainless steel ones. Seen them stainless steel ones? Whew, nasty piece of work. I mean, could you imagine using one of those on yourself? Huh? Told you about that time when my mother used to grabbed me one time, got hold of me, threw my head over the sink and said, I'm going to wash your neck. It's filthy. A bit like Louise's arms over there. Looks as if you haven't had a wash. And my neck was just about black, I think. She took the scrubbing brush, she got some soap on my neck and she scrubbed it. She rinsed it off. And a few hours later, when the redness had gone, she realised it wasn't dirt, it was just pure suntan. I'd been out in it that much, you know, but I felt the hand of the scrubbing, you know. And so we have to realise at times God will take hold of us and scour us, because God is looking for a vessel that is perfectly clean and pure so that he can put in his anointing for that time, that purpose, that place, that service that he wants to use you for. Because if you put something new, fresh, into an old vessel that is dirty, that has something stagnant in, that which is stagnant will pollute that which is pure. If you try to put fresh, clean water into a vessel that is dirty and has stagnant things in it, that water will become stagnant. It becomes polluted immediately it enters the vessel. And God is about to do a work in each and every one of us. He's looking for the pure vessels. He's looking for the vessels that are willing to be made pure. Are you going through a process? God had his high pressure washer on you, and then he gets the scouring pad out and begins to draw things out of you and scrub things away. We have to be patient. Catherine, read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36 for me, please. It's on that sheet I gave you. You need patience to do the will of God and then to receive the promise of having done the will of God. Is that not what it means? You need patience to bring you to a place where you can do the will of God. You can't just jump up and do it. One man springs to mind. Name was Moses. When he realized who he was, what the calling on his life was, at the age of 40, he decided he was going to do it. And he killed a Philistine. Sorry, an Egyptian. Thank you. An Egyptian. Killed an Egyptian. And then ran. And spent the next 40 years in a desert place learning patience. I don't like the desert. It's boring. It's hot. Unbearable. I don't fancy the desert, do you? So I think we need to change. So we need to listen to God. Otherwise we might end up with a bit of a desert experience. Yeah, but you see, my personality doesn't have a lot of patience in it. Good. That gives God something to work with, doesn't it? Eh? He's not bothered what it is that you give him to work with. He'll work with whatever you give him. You may not enjoy what he changes it into and how he changes it, but he'll do it. Our problem is we want to learn just like that, don't we? Want to be able to do it just like that. Bill and I were talking the other week. Bill's on about his music and that. We're chatting about a few things, and you know, he says, "I got all my books out," and he says, "I get to a point, I think, oh, blow it," he says, "chuck them on one side." He says, "I can't be bothering me, you know." And we do that, you know. What we thought would only take an hour or half an hour, and it's now taking us 3 hours or more, you know, it's like, oh no, and I just can't be bothered, you know, I want to do it. When do I want to do it? I want to do it now. Isn't it? It's like now. I want all the knowledge now. I want all the ability now. Oh, and by the way, I don't want to have to practice now. Is that right? Daniel, Luke. Don't hide behind your jumper. I can still see you. We don't do it. We don't want to practice, do we? Or if you've got a set of drums and you want to practice, nobody wants to hear you practice, do they? And so Bill was sort of saying, oh, you know, just... And then he said, but I do know I've got to get my head down and do it. Because if I don't, I won't. Yeah. And if I do, I will. But in there needs a portion of patience. Is that right? Maybe this word, part of this word's for you in that sense. Oh, right. Oh. I'm not... No. Is it really? Right. Oh. Really? All right, okay. You'll talk to me later. Uh-oh, have I been set up? I don't know. I mean, I can't remember, so I, you know, and I'm not targeting it to anybody. It's just that today God just gave me this. Because I think it applies to me. I know that. But I'm sure it applies to every one of us, because God wants to do some great things. But we have to allow Him to change us, to mould us, to shape us, and we have to let that cause patience to be working in us. I think in one of the other translations in Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit, I think certainly not, it's not in the King James as the word patience. Yeah, I think it's down as endurance, isn't it? Long suffering or something of that nature. In the New American Standard it says patience. So patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's part of that fruit formation and structure that each and every one of us has to have. So God wants to work that patience within us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Zena, would you read that, please? Just to hold it there. Let us lay aside every weight. What stops you running the race?
Flesh.
The flesh. You. Your thoughts. You know, let's, when we say flesh, let's, you know, it can be a bit loose. We can just think it's this. It's not your physical body. But it is your soul man. That stops you running the race.
Yeah.
It's your mind that stops you running the race of patience.
Yeah.
It's that soulish nature that stops you doing what God wants you to do, because it is impatient. It's rebellious. It wants to do its own thing. It won't submit to any authority. It just wants to get on and do its own thing, and when it's finished, if anybody's hurt along the way, tough. And if you failed, well, it's not my fault either. Must be God. And so we won't take the blame. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Yeah.
If you are to achieve anything in God, if you are to achieve anything in this world, you are going to have some endurance.
Yeah.
Because what you and I are called to do is over a process of time. Over a period of time. And so to do what God has called us to do, we are going to have some endurance. Some stickability. That we will press through. That we are sometimes going to have to sit down and read and listen and practice until we've got it right. Because if we don't, we will not run the race. We will not achieve, we will not receive the prize of the high calling of, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Those things will not happen for us. I don't want to hear what hindered you. What hindered you? Particularly if God turns around and says, the only thing that hindered you was the fact that you were impatient. Is that all? Is that the only thing that stopped me getting in? If I'd have just let God, if I'd have just submitted to God and let Him do that work in me, let Him form and shape me and make me and give me that strength and that power of patience in my life. Young people don't know what it is to be patient. I'm hungry and I want it now. I'm starving. I'm dying of hunger. My God, honest, you know. They were fed 3 hours ago. Now they're dying. You've heard them, you've done it yourself. If you don't feed me now, I'll die. Her mother thinks, well, die. You know, I mean, that'd be one less mouth to feed again, you know. But you're driving me crazy. Mothers don't say that, do they? If you know what you've told. You don't be quiet. You won't have teeth in your mouth to chew your food. Hey, there are some mothers who'll do that to the kids. I'm getting the point over. Yeah. Here's a piece of 4x2, chew on that, you know. Yeah, but that's the point, that then we begin to be impatient with that other impatient person. It rubs off. And we'd like to use a piece of 4x2 just to get the point over. I'm not saying it'll work, by the way, so don't try it, you know. Don't look back and think, maybe I should have tried a piece of 4x2 on Catherine. You know? It's not going to work. Patience is not driven in by you and I using a piece of 4x2, okay? No matter how much we'd like to use a piece. Patience is in by a willingness to receive it, a desire for it. It's part of that fruit of the Spirit. And if we desire the presence of God and we desire God, then that patience will begin to form its work in us. I think one of the things possibly that I might be learning slightly through this advanced motorcycling course I'm taking is some measure of patience within it. And in that patience, it allows me to develop some extra skills that I get further by using these extra skills than I would if I was being impatient. I'm beginning to see this. And so patience is that you and I will constantly be having patience formed within us, because it is fruit from the Spirit of God, and God wants you constantly bearing fruit. Patience. Hallelujah. Practice, isn't it, Graham? Practice your dancing. The only way you get the steps right is by practice, isn't it? But you'd like to do it all boom, boom, straight away, won't you? You know. But it has to practice. And when you get it wrong, you're annoyed with yourself. I did it right before, now I've done it wrong again. Why? And it's this practice, and patience has to be in there to allow us to practice. See, it's the power of that patience will allow you to achieve great things for God. Will allow you to achieve great things in your own life. We're going to send Philip, I think, for dancing lessons, you know. It's going to be Graham, or Graham's going to teach Philip, you know.
Yeah.
Might send Daniel as well. Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go.
We'll try, yes.
We'll watch you. Yeah, we'll watch you. We might put you in for one or two lessons and we'll find out, eh? Anything that we need to learn that we don't know, I guarantee you're going to need some patience to learn it. Have you ever tried using a keyboard on a typewriter or a computer? No, it's not easy. And you know it full well it ain't easy. Because you used to get your fingers in the knot and even still do to this day. Because I've seen you when you've used my keyboard. Who can remember the letters on the top line? Aren't they? Maybe you remember you know all where all the letters are because you were trained to do that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You didn't just look at the keyboard and go,
no.
Yep, got it. Okay, let's go. I can do that. But the trouble is when you see it on screen, you go, what on earth are you doing? Well, all the letters are there. Yeah, they are. They're all jumbled up. They're all in a mess. But I would need to have some patience to practice, because you that type use all your fingers and thumbs. I use all my fingers and thumbs that I practice with. You know, at one stage I got to where I could probably use two or three together at the same time nearly. Ooh, flying along. But it was through practice. And to practice you need patience and you need to spend time on it. Is that not true? Everything we do, we have to practice it. When you're driving a car, when you first start to learn to drive a car, you don't just jump in and you think, okay, here we go. Well, you could jump in Bill's nearly, and Ken's, shove it in D for drive and just push the right pedal and aim. A lot less things to remember to do. Well, not many less things, but just the coordination between the left foot, the right foot, and the left arm, and the right arm. I remember the first time I tried driving. Do you remember them old 1100 Morris, front wheel drive 1100 Morris Thousands? They had a pudding stick. In here was a gear. And they were hopeless. And I remember having to practice driving one of these things. And every time I went to change gear and look for one of these things, my arm went to right, car were veering off in another direction, and I'm concentrating trying to find that. There's a gear in here somewhere. They were awful things. They were dreadful. They were an abomination from hell, designed by man, built in Britain, you know. God, you know. You know, you could mix puddings up quicker and find a gear in one of them things. To drive one of them, you had to have a lot of patience. And you had to practice a lot. So everything we do, there needs to be patience. James 1 and chapter 3. Grace, will you read that one for me, please? James chapter 1 and verse 3. Sorry, James chapter 1 and verse 3.
Knowing that the testing of your faith produces an endurance.
Patience. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Most of us don't want our faith to be tried.
No.
We just want it to be that God has given us the measure of faith And it's okay, God. And God says, no, I need to check it out. I need to know that you are looking after it. I need to know that you are caring for your faith. You see, faith is alive. It is a living, breathing, spiritual dimension. And God gave it to you that you might take care of it. How do you take care of faith? Any ideas? Exercise. Okay, how do we exercise it? What do we use to exercise it with? Belief. How do we feed faith? Pardon?
With the word.
With the word. The word of what? The word of doubt, fear, unbelief? Pardon? No. The word of God. We feed faith on a good diet of the word of God. See, faith is vibrant, it's alive, and it needs to be fed. And as James says, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, your faith is also bringing forth the fruit of patience. Verse 4 says, absolutely, yeah, I mean, you see, people don't preach much on patience, do they? Let patience have its perfect work, that it may be perfect, complete, entire, wanting nothing. God wants to bring you to a place that your faith and your patience has got to that place where you lack nothing. That it is functioning, that it is powerful, that it is healthy, vibrant and powerful. This is the faith that Christ had. That brought people from death to life. That opened blind eyes and stopped deaf ears. Caused the crippled to walk. This is what patience brings. Jesus had to be patient for 30 years. He's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And yet God says, wait. 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 And he waited for 30 years in a small village called Nazareth. A small little village that next to nobody wanted to live in, because the words were in Israel in those days, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That dump? That hick town? Can anything good come out of that village? Have you been there lately? It's a dump. You know, it's giving you that sort of impression. And yet, the Son of God lives there. And he's living his life out patiently, being prepared, so that he can do 3 years service for his Father, to reveal his Father's glory, to raise the dead, cast out demons, and then to finally die on a cross, to make a perfect sacrifice that you might be brought into life and have life abundantly, and that you might be given an eternity and a lifestyle that nobody in this world can touch, only if you allow them. I suppose in the end it's like, don't talk to me about being patient, talk to God. Don't argue with me about impatience, argue with God. But I tell you this, you're going to lose, because God wants to bring you to a place where he can impart his power. And the only way he can do that is through that patience of you patiently waiting on God. You have to wait on God for the answers. Daniel waited 21 days for an answer. I bet he said, I could do with one now. Not 21 days, God. I could do with it now. But he waited patiently on the Lord. God ministered to him. David, a young shepherd boy, thinking, I'm out of here. I've just been anointed king. I'm out of here. I'm no more keeping sheep on the hillsides. I'm no more going to be the runt of the family. Because that's what they thought about him. He was only short. Oh, he's only youngest. He's a bit of a dreamer. Not up to much, really. Not like rested lads that are in the army. Fighting men. Got responsibilities. You know, can handle themselves. David, we'll just leave him on hillsides. Looking after a few sheep. That way he don't get under his feet. Don't get in his way. And yet he's being anointed king. And he waits patiently for the Lord. When God exalts you, nobody changes and moves you. When God appoints, God appoints. And nobody can move you. You only move on when it is God's time. And not your time. And so be encouraged to let patience have its work. Let patience begin to move in your life. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Praise the Lord, don't we? We glory in tribulations also. Can I hear an amen? A real one, I mean. We glory in tribulation also. Thanks, Bill. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise God. Pressed down, shaken together and running over, God wants to give to you. But you know, patience is in there, that fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience. No, I don't. I've got all I need, God. But the word says, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. You need patience to do the will. And when you've done the will, you can receive the promise. Hallelujah. So there's a there's a situation here. You've got to do the will to receive the promise. Most folk want the promise without doing the will. And to do the will, you've got to have patience. Yeah. Sorry. It's what the word says. I can't argue with God. Most folk just want to cut those bits out and say, I've received the promise. I'm claiming, you know, and we do it, don't we? I claim the promises of God. They are yea and amen. Yes, they are yea and amen. When I've done the will. See, that doesn't get preached. because that means you have a responsibility towards your own promises in Christ Jesus. That doesn't swallow well. It's got spikes on it. It's a bit too big. You've got to have all done this. You remember when you're kids, you've got these big sweets in your mouth. You know, you're sucking away on these big sweets. And all of a sudden, for some reason, I don't know how you do it, but this thing slips down your throat. And you feel it going all the way down, don't you? You know. And it stretches your food pipe. And it gets down to about here. And you're thinking, I need a drink. So you get his drink, you know, I think. And it's still there. I'm thinking, when will this thing dissolve? I can see you've done it, haven't you? I thought it were only me, you know, because I still do it to these days. I'm dying with this thing. And that's the problem. Christians don't want to swallow it. Well, just keep sucking on it. Like Mackenzie, you know, dummy about. And they just keep on it, sucking on it, you know. You cannot suck on meat. You cannot suck on meat. We don't get meat in our house very often. We're on this detox diet. I've been detoxed. It produces patience, endurance. Definitely does. You have to chew it and swallow it. You have to take bite sizes of it. And so we have to realize more and more. That tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. God is at work in us, doing his work on us, building us and making us and bringing them to ourselves. Right? Amen? So I hope you've been blessed by that. Amen. We've been encouraged by that. I suppose, and just finally, you know, one thing you need to do is decide the word of God's true. Decide to act in faith and decide to walk in faith. But to be able to do these things, you need to have patience. Because these things are not going to just come overnight. And it means that you have to work on it and let that word work in you and keep feeding life into yourself. Amen. The Lord be praised. If they don't remember it and they can't pray it now, then maybe they'll take it away and work on it until they can pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you and I surrender my will to you. I surrender my impatience. I surrender myself totally to you. That you might work patience in me. And that I will see your hand working in me. And that I will surrender to your patience. And I will not rebel against it. And give the devil a foothold. But I will submit to the movings of your Spirit on my life, that I might achieve all that you have planned for me, that I might endure all things, and that I might be made patient, and that I might be a glory for your Son, for the work of the kingdom. Lord, help me to be determined not to quit, not to back down, but to press through into that perfection of your patience that you have for me. And I will submit that charge in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.